Will House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take final roll.
35 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Hayes is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor Milton Hunt of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. Will members please rise to the prayer?
Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give you thanks for the beauty of Juneau, with its majestic mountains, its awe-inspiring glaciers, and its tall green trees pointing to you, our Creator. We ask that you give to these assembled representatives a spirit of cooperation mixed freely with an abundant measure of humor. We pray in the name of the Teacher of Galilee, who taught us to love others. Amen.
Representative Buchholz.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 140th day in House Supplement Number 83.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 140th day in House Supplement Number 83 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution Number 67, Inuit Circumpolar Conference, with the following amendment. It has been duplicated and placed on each desk. And so House Concurrent Resolution Number 67, amended Senate, same title, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 192, Finance, Equalization of the Tax Resources of Municipalities, continuing a portion of the program of state aid for municipal purposes, and providing for minimum entitlements effective date with the following amendments. It has a Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 192, Finance, amended Senate. It has been placed on each desk. The Senate has passed House Bill 615, Exemption from Municipal Property Taxation effective date with the following amendment. And so House Bill 615, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. It is on each desk. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 830, Finance, amended, relating to alcohol and drug abuse. And so Committee Substitute for House Bill 830, Finance, amended Senate, new title, is transmitted for consideration, and this has been placed on each desk. The Senate has passed House Bill 945, Interest Rates on General Obligation Bonds, effective date with the following amendment. And so House Bill 945, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. It also is on each desk. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
I have a fiscal note that's been received for the Free Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 752, GO Bonds Cultural Facilities. This will be printed in the Joint Senate House Supplement today. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 332 relating to hunting and the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Corridor under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 332, Finance, attaches new fiscal note, and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Guy, McKinnon, Rogers, Montgomery, and Moss. There is no due pass on this committee report.
House, please stand at ease.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 332 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 548, Processing of Permits by State Agencies, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 548 and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Buchholz. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 548 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Bill 550 amended relating to professional licensing and to the practice of pharmacy under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 550 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Bettesworth, Halford, and Munson. Signing do not pass, Randolph. Signing no recommendation, Brown. Senate Bill 550 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Rules has had House Resolution 25, Insurance for Boats with Loans from the Division of Business Loans, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Anderson, Parr, Phillips, and Hayes. Having no recommendation, Miller. House Resolution 25 has no further referral. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 688, authorizing the Commissioner of Fish and Game to acquire certain timber cutting rights, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 688 rules and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Miller, Cotton, and Anderson. Signing no recommendation, Brown, Parr, and Phillips. House Bill 688 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The Free Conference Committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 61 Finance and Senate Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 561 Rules under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 561 GO bonds in the amount of $63,651,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for educational facilities, teacher housing, library facilities, and University of Alaska facilities effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members Tillian, Coletta, and Ferguson, by the House members Rogers, Schaefer, and Branson. The Free Conference Committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 563 Finance and Senate Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 563 Rules under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 563 GO bonds $156,992,700 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, airport, port, harbor, and local service roads and trails construction and improvements, public transportation, and planning transportation projects effective date be adopted. A letter of intent follows. The report was signed by the Senate members Tillian, Chairman, Coletta, and Ferguson, by the House members Rogers, Chairman, Schaefer, and Branson. The Free Conference Committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 1023 and CSHB 1023 amended Senate under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 1023 amending and transferring appropriations made to the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members Ray, Chairman, and Rohde. Curtula did not sign. House members Duncan, Chairman, Rogers, and Bettesworth. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 239 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date. We are in second reading with a motion pending to adopt amendment number one by Mr. Martin.
Amendment number one is before the House. Will clerk please read amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. Page 12, line 9, change 19 to 21. The same change is on page 55, line 21, line 16, 17, 22, 24, 25, and 28. On page 56, wherever 19 is, delete and insert 21. Page 57, wherever 19, delete and insert 21.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, unless I'm corrected, I don't think that this change reflects a bill that's standing in anybody's committee, and it's my intent to vote for it unless someone can tell me that this change is in someone's committee. I think there's a bill that has something to do with about putting the initiative on in front of the voters. And I do favor raising the age limit from 19 to 21. So I, but I, if it is incorrect, if this bill, or if there's a bill that changes the age limit from 19 to 21, I'd like to know about it before I vote. Otherwise, I do plan to vote for it.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I won't raise the issue of any bill being in the committee because I'm like Mr. Anderson, I don't think there is one. I think the bill, what the amendment does is, of course, raise a public policy issue, and that is, should the legal drinking age be 19 or 21? There may be some very good reasons for changing the age, although I don't agree with the speaker who proposed the amendment that, you know, all of the horrible things he was describing happened because of the legal drinking age there. I don't know about anybody else, Mr. Speaker, but I guess the first time I ever drank any liquor, I was only about 12 or 13 years old, and it was moonshine out of a fruit jar. I don't know what the legal drinking age was. It didn't make much difference, you know. I suspect that no matter what the legal drinking age is, that people below it are going to get hold of liquor and they're going to drink it, and then some of them are going to be driving as well. And so I'm not really sure that there's a direct correlation between changing this age and reducing the number of accidents that occur while young people are driving. I don't think there's been any evidence presented that really proves that. And so I do intend to oppose the amendment. It may be a good matter of public policy to change it, but if so, I would prefer that it go through the usual committee system. We have the discussion on it. We have the testimony in favor and against. People from all around the state have a chance to get their input, and then we make such a decision. But I'm really reluctant to make it just on the basis of a floor amendment in this House.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I intend to support the amendment, and I don't think the previous argument was necessarily a good argument, because there are many bills resting in committees now that we have had public testimony on, public input, and those bills will languish and die there. And I will point out one particular bill that I think is of grave importance to not only this body, but to the people of this state, and that's the drug bill that rests in the committee. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is probably a good deal that the amendment got offered yesterday, and we all had time to think about it over the night. I have a couple thoughts came to mind. One was that by the time I turned 21, then they finally moved the drinking age back to 19, and I was sort of distressed about that at the time. But the other thing I remember is that I won't probably admit it myself, but I know that some people, if they're not old enough to get into a bar, if the drinking age is 21, well, they'll probably, if they want to, still be able to get beer or what other liquor they want, and they won't drink it in a bar. But one of the few places they will have to drink it is in their cars. And I think you might see even more drinking and driving by young people if you say they can't go into a respectable establishment that serves liquor. So I'm not sure that this isn't going in the wrong direction. I think I agree with Mr. Parr. I'm not sure that it's going to make a whole lot of difference when it comes to auto fatality statistics, but I think that he's right in that it deserves a lot more public attention, public scrutiny, and I think that the arguments aren't convincing to me that we ought to change it back to 19 or back to 21.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can remember when the age was lowered. In fact, I sent a telegram down here at that time. I had a son that was in the Marines, and he had just come back from a year in Vietnam. He was a sergeant by the time he was 19. Yet in Alaska at that time, he had to be 21 to drink. this was distressing to me simply because I really believe if you give people responsibilities in the area of risking their lives for this country, putting them in charge of all of these other men that are also risking their lives, classifying them as men, and then coming back and saying, but you can't make the decision as to whether you should drink until you're 21 years old. I feel that this is it doesn't smack of giving people responsibility. They're allowed to vote, and yet at the same time we're saying, but you can't make up your mind. We have determined for you that you're not allowed to drink. At one time, I ran a teenage establishment in Anchorage, and an awful lot of what I saw happening were kids out, what they called riding the gut, in their cars with a case of beer. They drank every bottle of that beer because they had a case and they weren't going to take it home. To me, this is a lot more of a problem than somebody drinking only that which they order. I'll vote against the amendment.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I concur with everything that Representative Munson just said. But in addition to that, I think we make there's another problem that's even more significant than the fact that this amendment's not going to work, not going to solve the problem it purports to solve. I think it might very well increase that problem. But what we do then, any young person in Alaska up to the age of 21 who has a bottle of beer in their possession or, in fact, break this law does, in fact, become a criminal simply because they have that alcoholic beverage in their possession. And we're going to turn literally thousands of our own children into criminals with the passage of this thing simply because they're going to go on drinking beer. And I think that's a totally ridiculous result, and for that reason alone ought to be voted against.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I last week gave the call to the Department of Public Safety and Department of Health, Education, Health and Social Services, and I asked both departments to do a study on the 5 or 6 states that went back from 19 to 21 years old. But one figure that was kind of startling to me is that here we're accusing young people of causing most of the car accidents because of booze. And the funny thing about it is that the people that caused most of the fatalities and accidents on our highways, the state of Alaska highways, are people in your age group and my age group, 21 to 29 years old. So I think we're painting a broad brush without really looking at the facts. And until I get those facts, which, if I'm around next year, and if the study's completed, and if it otherwise tell me not to vote for this amendment, then I will vote for the amendment if the facts show it. But I'll be voting no on this until I get the facts next year.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. When I was in the service, it wasn't during wartime, and we indulged a little bit. And I remember as talking about as far as risk in our life, I think I can remember, barely remember, some particular times when the most risk in my life came whenever we was drunk and I was underage. And I'm going to reluctantly vote for this amendment because I can see reasons on both sides. I would rather have it come up in an initiative and then vote for it. I don't like having to be put on the spot of voting these kind of things that affect such a broad group of the public.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think that
The member from District 11 made one of the better points on the floor after some very good points also made by the Rules Chairman. If you put it all together, it basically says this, that if we pass this amendment, then we're saying that you are old enough to make the lesser decisions, apparently less important decisions, like who gets elected President of the United States and has a button on the bomb, and therefore sends you to war, and the lesser decisions as to whether you're going to go to war if either enlisted or called and kill another human being, but you have to wait 3 more years before you're going to be able to make the much more important decision as to whether or not you can handle alcohol. And I think that's an absurd result. Stories mentioned by the Rules Chairman, I think, comport with my memory. I remember going to the University of Alaska, and a couple young people were killed in a very terrible auto accident. And they were driving back from an establishment where they had purchased alcoholic beverages. They were in a terrible accident. As a result, some of the glass from the bottles or pitchers or whatever went into their insides. And they were underage. And the reason they had the booze in the car is that they couldn't do any drinking legally in a public place for fear of being criminals. And I agree that many of the things cited by the maker of the motion yesterday do happen, but I do not agree that this is the remedy at all. I am against the amendment.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. The previous my colleague from Fairbanks has just spoken why I tippy-toed around the concern that I have with this bill. I am very concerned with the choosing of an arbitrary number, and that's where I'm having a great problem with this thing. I would be much more supportive of, instead of the figure 21, we had the figure 65. And so I would like to, through your chair, ask the maker of the amendment why he chose the number 21 rather than some other number.
Representative Martin.
Well, if we go back to history, somehow or ever someone decided that 21 used to be the age of maturity. I would agree with my friend that sometimes you can be 65 and older and still haven't matured in certain ways, and especially when you have devoted your life under the influence of alcohol. I guess one of the major objections that's been brought up today, sir, is that comparing war to alcohol. And there is no doubt for anyone that would read the facts, those who gave us their history about being in war or being pushed to give service to the country. I noticed that you're still here. I notice also that the facts show without a doubt many more people have died on the highway under the influence of alcohol. There is no doubt that the greater risk for our youth, for our young adults today, is not being in war, but being on the road under the influence of alcohol. It was also mentioned, sir, that we did not have time to discuss this. Well, there's another major issue that I introduced last year, and we were promised opportunities to discuss it in committees or hearings or wherever. We still have passed that year and still no discussion. We've had the opportunity for a week or so now for the advisory vote. If the various committee chairmen wanted to do that, fine. I believe in the voters expressing their point of view very much, and hopefully that the legislators would take the majority consensus and follow through. But then we also know that even though we have a feeling of what the voters may feel about a particular issue, sometimes because of committee debates or other information presented to us, and then in turn we present it back to the public, that maybe the majority opinion will change. We did not ask in the past for majority opinion or voters' opinion to lower the age. I think some states did, but Alaska certainly did not. And if the legislators at that time felt that they were presenting the points and point of view of the people, why not either do it now? There's two options before us, sir. Either allow the advisory vote of the people or vote right now. We feel that we have enough strong feelings about our people and our areas that we know how they feel on this issue, then fine, let us proceed with the voting. Now, so in this whole bill, there's been an awful lot done, and it is a good bill. It's a big step in the right direction. This amendment is one major step to more or less complete our action of curtailing abuse of alcohol. Some of the actions taken in this bill is of a preventive nature, not cure. Many of the provisions in this bill are also taken to definitely decrease the consumption of alcohol or the availability of it. I think it's time right now that we face up to the major issue and quit trying to only put monies into programs that will act as a cure of this terrible problem that is tearing up families, that is maiming our youth, and also snuffing out the life of many of our youth who have promising futures. Now, for those who have studied the issue, doubt does not exist in our minds as to what the reports say of the past experience of younger age and drinking and older age. The past 5 years, this one major change we found through the experts, one major change in the alcoholic laws, can do more to immediately decrease the tragedies associated with alcohol than all the millions or all the programs that we have done this year. And I think let's try this preventive measure instead of continuously trying to cure a problem that we cannot cure.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, you know, in the past few years I've been to a lot of Republican state conventions. And in every one of those conventions, the major part of every single platform that we've written in the past many, many years, as long as I can remember, has been less government, less regulation, less people telling people how to live, and give people control of their own lives. That is a basic Republican platform policy. It's nationwide. It's not just in this state. And, Mr. Speaker, for that reason, I find myself in a position that I need to rise on the floor and attack my own Republican colleagues. The reason that this has been basic to Republicanism for many, many years, freedom. Freedom has to be for everyone. If it's not for everyone, it won't be left for anyone. If we're going to support freedom, it has to be for all people. If I named 100 items, I'm sure we could come up with 100 items fairly easily that somebody, someplace, would like to take that freedom away from you. Well, I may not be affected by 90% of them. So maybe I'm willing to vote to take away those freedoms from somebody on 90 out of 100 cases. But if I'm willing to do that, they're going to be willing to take my freedoms away too. If I'm willing to accept other people's freedoms that I might wish maybe they don't have, maybe they'll give me my freedom so I can have freedom. But we're not going to have freedom unless it's for everybody. And if we start taking away freedom, pretty soon we're all going to be without freedom. You know, sooner or later, somebody's going to propose that we lock each other in a rubber room from 5 o'clock at night till 5 o'clock in the morning because it'll save lives. And it's ridiculous. I don't know where the representative that introduced this amendment was when he was 19, but you know, I know a lot of people that were doing this, that were well on their own by that time. I left home when I was 16. By the time I was 18, I was 3,000 miles away from my family. I had migrated 3,000 miles. I was in Alaska. I was working in the middle of a Cook Inlet, working on an oil rig to make a living. By the time I was 19, legal drinking age, I'd been on my own for 3 years. Well, it wasn't legal drinking age at that time. It was 21. But by the time I was 19, by the time I was 19, I'd been to two funerals. And those two funerals were my best buddies in high school that died in Vietnam. And I think that it's ludicrous that we sit here and try to take away freedom from people. And I think it's even more ludicrous that it comes from a party. The amendment comes from a party that is on record for as many years as I can remember supporting freedom. Less government, less people telling you how to live, what to do, etc. Mr. Speaker, I violently oppose the amendment.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Somebody famous once said, to every complex problem is a simple answer, but it's wrong.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, it seems like today's the day we're all reminiscing. We'd all like to be 19 years old again, I'm sure. However, I'm one of those, I spent 37 months overseas shooting and being shot at, and when I came home, I was very distressed because I couldn't go into my favorite neighborhood bar and buy a bottle of beer. And, you know, not that I really wanted to do it, but I didn't have the choice. And, you know, I think there is a definite connection between the responsibilities that our country calls upon those younger generation when it comes in times of national emergency, and then when the national emergencies are over with, we're looking upon them as immature adults. I think that I was a member of this legislature when we lowered the drinking age, and we didn't do it on amendment on the floor. We did it after extensive public hearings, debate, and a lot of soul searching, and we did lower the drinking age. Now, I'm not sure whether or not we made the proper decision, but we did it with due process. We're suggesting today that we arbitrarily withdraw those rights from a large segment of our population without the benefit of public hearings. And that's what I object to, Mr. Speaker. I don't know whether it's proper to lower the age or not, but I do know that this is not the proper way to do it.
The question for Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I can't vote for this amendment because I don't think we had enough research in it. Because I can remember when we had a lot of car accidents when the age limit was 21. So now we're going to put the blame on our young people and say they're causing all the accidents on the highways. And for that reason, I wouldn't vote for the amendment. And one more thing, going to my colleagues here from Anchorage, said it should be raised to 65, and I'll oppose that amendment too. For the simple reason, Mr. Speaker, when you're 65, you get sicker than somebody what's 19 when you're out drinking.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been a few comments made by various representatives saying they don't know this, they don't know that, they haven't seen this, they haven't seen that. I would say that, you know, sometimes you can shove something in front of a person's face, and if they can't read, well, you know, what can we do about that? But there's numerous reports, ladies and gentlemen, that are available. Matter of fact, one of the senators sent over a report, I can't find it right now, giving some very important facts. Very important facts. It's been on our desk for about 3 days pertaining to the drinking age and the damages to our youth, and the tremendous increase in insurance rates, and also why our health department backs such a law, why other states have done it, some of the information I gave out yesterday. So for those who say they don't have the facts or they don't know this, they don't know that, it's your own fault. If you refuse to study, then that's your own problem. Here we go with this war question again, and one of my colleagues from Rabbit Creek mentioned where I was. I was in Korean War at 17. I didn't need booze to encourage me or discourage me. It sounds like we had a lot of two confessions going on, and probably a lot of people had a little snort here and there before they were of the proper age. But you know, that doesn't make it right either. And certainly we've had in the past monies appropriated, I know in the city of Anchorage, to teach teenagers how to drink, you know, this maturity garbage, and there's a style to it all. We also heard some comments about freedom, and there is a freedom of responsibility. And this is the whole idea of a legislative body to give guidance to society, to lay down laws. Not that we're going to enforce them, and not that anybody's even going to obey them. It just says that we, as the leaders of this society, realize that by following certain rules and regulations and laws, that we will have a better society, that more people will live, more people will be happy and be able to have a good life. We also passed some laws just recently, sir, pertaining to youth. And one of the comments made by two legislators is that leaders are youth, are looking for guidance. They are looking for some way to guide themselves. The shoplifting law was a very good example. Because we had nothing on the books, one of our senators from Anchorage found out that the youth thought that, you know, this wasn't wrong. There's nothing pertaining to it in the records or whatever, and they thought they can get away with it because it's just one of those little gray areas. It's all right if you don't get caught. Well, the youth themselves said that if you make it a law, if they can understand the law, they know which way to go. Same way with drugs today. We're having all kinds of problems deciding what is right and what is wrong in drugs. And yet day after day we see youth especially and young adults misusing drugs. A lot of this has to be with the liberalization that we have in drug laws. They know that. So if we're supposed to give guidance and leadership with all the rhetoric and with all the two confessions we heard today, they're just lucky that they survived. And I think if we want to take a true conscientious position, if we want to have faith in our youth and tell them that with all facts considered, whether it's your freedom or anything else, we think it's best that you do not participate in alcoholic consumption until the age of 21.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I don't think anybody really should feel bad about wanting to vote to change the age limit from 19 to 21, because I know a lot of people have fought and died to protect our right to vote the way we feel we have to vote on particular issues. I am just as free to vote on changing this to 21 as anybody else is free to vote to keep it at 19. And I was in the service as well. And I didn't put any chains on anybody to make them vote a certain way simply because somebody fought and died to do something that they, whether they had control over it or not. I volunteered for the service and I came out. And I still will not, I won't feel any objection or feel any the worse of anybody if they vote against the amendment. But people are free to vote the way they are. That's why those people fought and died, to protect our right to vote the way we want to. And there are some of us who feel that 21 is the right age. But anyone who, and those people who feel intimidated by the arguments about wanting to deny people of 19, they shouldn't feel bad. Shouldn't feel bad about voting for 21. And we're free to do it. That's what freedom is all about. We're free to choose right now.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, two quick points. The mover of the amendment said we had two options. We could either put the advisory board on the ballot or we could adopt this right now. I'd like to remind the body there's a third option. It's one that Mr. Eliason remarked on as to how the previous legislature set the age of 19. Second thing is, and it may sound funny, but at least the information that Mr. Phillips gave us, the bracket that's most at risk is from 21 to 29. So Mr. Martin might want to go out to call an at ease and change his amendment and make it start at 30 instead of 21.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I guess today is a day of reminiscing, and it's also a day that I think that we need to consider what alcohol will do to you and what alcohol will do to others. Today it's very clear in my mind, because Friday night a very dear friend of mine and the treasurer of my campaign was killed in Anchorage about 10 o'clock at night by a young person that was under the influence of alcohol and driving very fast down the middle of the street. He killed him, and it hurts me very bad. The same Friday night, I have two sons. Those two sons are in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. The older one is in the military, and his brother was with him. And driving on the base in Fort Huachuca, Arizona, there was a drunk man who was heading straight at them in his automobile when my son swerved his car to keep him from hitting him head on, and he demolished the rear end of his car. Alcoholism kills, and it maims our young and our old alike. And I think we reach a point in our history where the young and the old alike look to us for guidance. And that, Mr. Speaker, is why I will vote for the amendment today.
Question for the House, adoption of Amendment Number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
5 yeas, 32 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment. Representative Munson?
Yes, could we have a brief at ease, Mr.
House
Speaker?
Please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Munson. It starts page 25, line 23. It's 2 pages long. It has been distributed.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There's objection, Representative Munson.
Mr. Speaker, what the amendment does is, at the present time, we have a quota system. And the quota system is working in some areas. In the municipality of Anchorage, there's a real problem. The licenses have now become worth much money. And the municipality incorporated extends as far as Girdwood. In the last year, the one establishment in Girdwood that has a liquor license is Eliesca, which is open part of the time in the summer. The other establishment, the liquor license was for sale for $165,000. And there just isn't that business down there to purchase a license of this value. So that license was moved into Anchorage. So what this amendment does is allow the board to make a decision if the public need and conveyance would be better even though a quota is established, if they allow another license to be issued. One of the problems that has happened because of this is the fact that people from Girdwood drive 18 or 20 miles away and then drive back. And I think that this amendment will solve some of the problems that all of the licenses don't end up in downtown Anchorage simply because of the value of the license.
Representative Brown.
Very short at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. Is there debate on amendment number 2? Representative Miller.
Just a couple of questions. If the license at Girdwood was worth $165,000 and for that purpose was bought up and moved out of Girdwood, I guess my first question is, what would keep the next license issued under the authority of this legislation from exactly the same thing happening, in which case we just have an endless supply of new licenses being granted? Because we keep losing them because of the high price value on them. And number two, with this amendment in place, I just really kind of question what's the sense of keeping the quota system at all.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is under the section of non-transferable license, so that it could not be transferred. We do have the licenses that are non-transferable as well as the others. And as far as changing the quota system, again, it would strictly be up to the board to determine if it was in the public interest for a license to be there, you know, at a place. They couldn't just arbitrarily start issuing licenses.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, but of course they can't do that right now either. So presumably if it's public convenience, whatever that means, maybe only convenience is only you only have to walk 6 blocks to get a drink or something. If that's the way it is under the present system, it seems to me without the quota, there'd just be an unlimited number of these new category type licenses issued.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, there is another thing that is in the bill that was put in the Judiciary Committee and is still in the Finance Committee substitute that in most cases would take care of that problem, and that is that we have changed the law with regard to the role of the municipality. Right now, Mr. Speaker, a major problem that we've had and a policy decision made by this House last year with regard to the House Committee substitute on Senate Bill 250, the sunset extension on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, which is still in free conference, and we should have a bill very soon on that. But that that bill had an amendment which we also put in the Judiciary Committee in this bill in a slightly different form, which makes sure that unlike current law, the municipality really pretty much has, the Municipal Assembly or City Council pretty much has a veto power over a license issued in that municipality. Right now, the law is that they have to go through this procedure, and the licensee and the assembly or the council are submitted to this procedure. But under the law, there's no guarantee that the Alcohol Beverage Control Board pay any attention to it at all. Actual practice in recent years by the board has been they have paid attention to it. But when the judiciary chairman was on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, I'm sure he could tell you that there were times when they did not. And I think that since we have that now in the bill, that any licensee who is concerned about the value of his license in the immediate area or 2 miles away or whatever is still going to be able to get to talk to his assembly members the same way any other citizen would to try to have his input about his concern about any possible loss in the value of his property. And I think that that alleviates some of the problems mentioned by the gentleman from Juneau.
Representative Martin.
Just to me, sir, like we're opening the gate again to more and more establishments. It's not only in Girdwood, the problem I'm familiar with, but there's other areas too. where there were licenses available outside the city of Anchorage. For one reason or other, these individuals sold their licenses. And perhaps as we open the gate for Girdwood, I know the northern section, those areas between Anchorage and Palmer, and some of them as far along the Parks Highway, or the old Alaskan Highway, would then want their license back with every justification that Girdwood is asking for here. Well, I don't know if Girdwood is, but at least that's the license that was mentioned. And I think that, you know, we spent an awful lot of time on this whole bill. We've tightened up. And suddenly to have an amendment like this that opens the gate again, I would feel needs much more evaluation.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill in all the other categories allows a way to do the same thing that I'm doing. The problem with the municipality is that it has extended itself 35 miles away. And in the other categories, there are allowances made if there is no other establishment within so many miles. And the problem that we're experiencing in Anchorage is very different simply because of the area that, because of the incorporation, the area that it now covers. And what I would assume that would eventually happen as those the licenses become more valuable, we will lose establishments along the highway. And now I'm not just talking about establishments that serve alcoholic beverages. I'm also talking about the lodges, the eating places that are established there, that if the licenses, again, are withdrawn and are sold because of their value, then there will not be these places along the highway for people to stop because they are not going to be able to make a profit.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, also being from District 11, I'm going to support my colleague's amendment. Might shine a different light on it. One person suggested that a bar wanted its license back. That's really not the case. I don't believe that a bar wants its license back. I think the liquor board is set up for a public convenience, not a convenience of a bar owner. And the people there are without a place to go in the evening or if they wish to go have a cocktail. And it's a community, it's a sizable community, and it's a good, my colleague said, for 35 miles. Last time I drove, I think it was 45, but I'll check when I get back. But anyway, they would have to drive 45 miles into Anchorage or stop at one of the places along the road if they're open to have a cocktail if they wish to do so. And they've been denied a place to go because the value of a liquor license has reached such a point it is uneconomic to have a liquor license and utilize it in Girdwood. And so therefore nobody is going to leave a license there unless it is a license that is required to be there, non-transferable. So anybody that has a license can't afford to use it there because the return on it there is not sufficient to warrant a $150,000 investment staying in Girdwood. It is better off sold and used elsewhere. So without it, they won't have a bar there. And secondly, it's not for the convenience of a bar owner. It's a public convenience. And it's for the convenience of the public. Thank you.
Question for the House is adoption amendment number 2. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
21 yeas, 13 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment. Representative Randolph. House Police Entity. Will the House please come back to order? Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 3 by Hurlburt and Randolph. page 17, lines 19 through 27. Put a period after premises and delete all other material. On line 20, add a new subsection B. The annual fee for a sublicense is $400.
Representative Randolph.
Speaker, I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Check.
There is objection, Representative Randolph.
Okay, I think the amendment is self-explanatory. You'll look on page 17. What it does expands the possibilities for a pub license. Right now it's restricted to universities, and this would make it possible for it to be in other areas other than on universities. I think one of the major benefits of this would be in many communities which want to give it a hard liquor but who would like to possibly have beer and wine around. This would allow the board to issue a license that was not totally dry situation or a totally wet situation, but I guess what's been referred to as a damp situation. I think amendment's a good one. Request your support.
Representative Brown.
Could the clerk read the amendment again, please?
Clerk, please reread the amendment.
Amendment number 3 by Hurlburt and Randolph. Page 17, lines 19 through 27. Put a period after premises and delete all other material down through line 27. On line 20, add a new subsection B. The annual fee for a sublicense is $400.
Is there a debate? Representative Miles?
I hate to put a colleague on the spot without forewarning, but did this subject come up in the Judiciary Committee? Perhaps the Judiciary Chairman might take a moment and explain if it did when the bill was being deliberated on and what the Judiciary Committee's decision was.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, this was one of the portions of the bill that did not receive any comment. We went through the bill page by page with the prime sponsor and anybody else who wanted to talk about it. But this was one issue that nobody raised a question about. So it was not discussed in committee.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't understand the effect of the amendment. It's almost as though it's creating another class of license, and by deleting the reference to an accredited college or university, I think that maybe it then leaves at question what effect there is with regard to the law of licenses on the campuses of accredited colleges or universities. I'm saying that perhaps the current language of the amendment may accomplish more and different things than intended by the makers of the amendment.
Representative Randolph.
Well, Mr. Speaker, what's intended by the makers of the amendment is that certainly not that the pub license not be available on campus, but that not be restricted only to campus. And I think that's the language we're taking out, which would mean that, you know, you could have a pub license anywhere, including communities who only wanted beer and wine available in that community and didn't want hard alcohol available, and on campuses or wherever else.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you go to page 9, you've got all these various licenses. There's about 18 of them here, I believe. And if you, they're the only one that comes near of just, as I researched it anyway, that comes near just beer and wine across the bar is the restaurant and eating place license, which is number 3 on it. What this would do, and then goes on down to number 14, is pub license. And as defined, it's just for colleges. Across the United States, there's a lot of pubs which just serve beer and wine, and this would just make another type of license in that refer.
Question for the body is the adoption of amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
14 yeas, 18 nays.
Amendment number 3 has been defeated. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Eliason, page 31, line 28. Remove 10, insert 20.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There's objection, Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I was, as late as last evening, I was in contact with one of the members of the ABC board, and he reaffirmed the statement he had made to me a month or so that ago that this is one particular area that is the biggest loophole in liquor laws there. The expanding of licenses through this method. He says you'd be surprised the amount of places in the state they built 10-room shacks with maybe a common laboratory facilities in order to get a liquor license, in order to dispense liquors. And I think there is a letter, he had written a letter to the Code Revision Committee recently outlining this particular point, that this is one of the loopholes, and what we're trying to do, I don't know if 20 is a proper number. I don't know if it should be 30 or 20, but it's an arbitrary figure. But I'm trying to cut down on this practice, and he went on to say that this not only creates many problems in other places of the state, but it also these operations are very financially shaky. They're the primary purpose of the facility is to serve liquor, not to rent rooms, and that's the purpose of the amendment.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, would the effect of the amendment be to pull certain licenses, or would they be automatically grandfathered, the ones that already qualified under the existing law?
Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, no. The ones that are under existing law would be, remain, would be grandfathered in. This is just to cut down on the on those who are in the planning stage, if there are any.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, well, I don't know whether this is a predominant opinion of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board or only one member, and it may be that it came up, say, last year during the Sunset Review hearings, which are very extensive on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and the subject matter of this area of regulation. But I don't remember it. If a Commerce member might remind me if it did come up. And we spent a lot of time with members of the board and with the executive director. And I didn't make all the meetings, but I mean most of the meetings, particularly during the markup on the on this bill in Judiciary Committee this year, and I don't remember the issue coming up then. So all we know now is that one member of a multi-member board has this opinion, and the issue's not been raised otherwise in the 2 years we've been considering this and other related legislation. So I'm going to vote against it unless I can find out more.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I was involved in an effort to put together a bar under that auspices some time back, and found out that it wasn't as it appears. The Liquor Control Board required 50 rooms for a bar license in Anchorage, and it varied by community. And I might give an example of where they might do otherwise would be out in some area that maybe construction area, the end of the North Road in Kenai, for example. There are two bars out there that have just a few rooms and they have bar licenses. Those places are the ones that lose their liquor licenses, and that would allow the would no longer allow the liquor board to have that discretion among between communities. In the Anchorage area, if you have less than 50 rooms, you can't get a bar license.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a number of hours of hearings on this bill. No one raised the point that Mr. Eliason has brought forth. I don't know why that member didn't let us know. I'm sure he knew that the bill was coming up, and I'm sure he knew about it when he was in the other body. The board does have a discretion. That simply is the floor, that 10 rooms. And the board has the discretion, as Mr. Metcalf pointed out, to say yes or no. The only other thing that might occur to me is that I presume it costs a lot more money to build a motel or something with 20 rooms than it does with 10. And so I guess what we're doing is pricing out the little guy here, saying if you've got enough money to build a motel that has 20 rooms, you can get a license, but you won't be able to if you only got enough money to build a motel with 10 rooms.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, it's not an effort to price out the little guy. It's an effort to curtail the practice of the primary reason for obtaining the liquor license is through this method. These are licenses that are exceed the population factors involved. These are extra licenses in an area. If in fact there was a facility being built somewhere where they had exceed that population figure, they could have a liquor license without even having 10 rooms, with one room. But we're talking about excessive license. We're talking about those areas that have already exceeded their population quota as the licenses, and additional licenses being granted. So, you know, we're not really cutting the little guy out.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think I said that the effort was to cut out the price of the little guy out of the business. I said that's the effect of it. That's what I intended to say, and that's what it really may boil down to. Whether that's the intention of the gentleman that spoke to Mr. Eliason, I don't know. But nevertheless, the net effect would certainly be that.
Question for the House, adoption of amendment number 4. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
8 yeas, 24 nays.
Amendment number 4 has failed. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill number 239, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there is no objection, Senate Bill 239 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 239, Finance, amended by the House by the Finance Committee, an act relating to alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date.
Question before the House is the final passage of Senate Bill number 239. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay.
Senate Bill 239 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill number 239, amended by the House, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call in the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301, amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to avalanche warning and control systems and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Gardner, Parker, Eliason, Martin, and Metcalf. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House State Affairs Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. State Affairs Committee Substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 301 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 301 will be advanced to third reading. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to avalanche warning and control systems and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House, the final passage of Senate Bill number 301. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
The House has passed Senate Bill 301. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as roll call in the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Bill 365 amended by Ferguson, Ray, Coletta, Dankworth, and Stimson. An act imposing penalties on persons who deal in intoxicating liquors without a license and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 365 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 365 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Phillips, Barnes, Anderson, Martin, Parr, Buchholz, and Malone. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 365 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Judiciary Committee Substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 365 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill number 365 be advanced to third reading. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 365 by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to local option and establishing penalties for violations of liquor laws.
Question for the House. The final passage is Senate Bill 365. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 365 has passed the House. Representative, oops, there's no effective. Brings us to the citation on the calendar. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Avram M. Gross be adopted, and I ask unanimous consent, or did I?
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted. Brings us to unfinished business. Representative Brown.
May we be at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease.
It isn't on there, I mean? You mean it's, oh.
I
Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to read the numbers of the bills that I intend to bring up for consideration under unfinished business, and I'll do that for the convenience of the members so that they can mark them off or take a little bit better look at the bills that are in their limbo files. I'll be moving for concurrence on HCR 67, or we'll be taking action on the following bills, in one sort or another. HCR 67, House Bill 192, House Bill 262, House Bill 416, House Bill 557, House Bill 615, House Bill 830, House Bill 945, and all the free conference bills on the bottom of the limbo list. Mr. Speaker, on the first bill is
Representative Cotton.
Brief at ease, please.
House, please stand. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there is one exception to the list. I read that we are going to be holding House Bill 615, and I beg the pardon of the body. The first bill, Mr. Speaker, is HCR 67. That's a having to do with the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. The change by the other body is minor, and I've been advised that we can go ahead with the bill. We can concur. At this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House Concurrent Senate Amendments to House Concurrent House Concurrent Resolution Number 67, thus adopting House Concurrent Resolution Number 67, amended Senate. I ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the resolution by title.
House Concurrent Resolution 67, amended Senate by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, relating to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference.
Question for the House, the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 67. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
24 yeas, 9 nays.
The House has adopted Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution 67. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is a bill that the prime sponsor has asked me to have the body not concur on. It has to do with equalization tax resources and municipalities, House Bill 192. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill Number 192, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 192, amended Senate. I ask members to vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 192, Finance, amended Senate by the Finance Committee. An act relating to programs of state aid to municipalities and other recipients, providing for equalization of the tax resources of municipalities, continuing a portion of the program of state aid for municipal purposes, providing for minimum payments and directing state agencies to examine and recommend changes in programs of state assistance, amending the program of fisheries tax refunds to municipalities, and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is a motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill Number 192. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a description of those amendments?
The amendments are fairly extensive. See if I can. The House, please stand at ease. There was a question for an explanation of the changes. If you look at the latest version of the bill, the first change is on page 10 of the bill, line 2. There's a new section added called State Aid to Certain Native Village Governments. On page 10, that's a new section. Then on page 14, or page 15, there's a new section called Entitlement Adjustment that goes on to page 16 and 17. And on all of page 16 is new material going on to page 17. Then at the end of the bill on page 20, the material section 14 is new and section 15 is new material. And the increased, then at the bottom of the bill on line 29, the appropriation was increased from $31 million to $35 million. And there's some other technical changes, but those are the sections that are additions to the House bill. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask the members of my community to vote for the Senate amendments. Reading, without the 90% hold harmless amendment to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 192, Anchorage, with over 46% of the state population, would receive less than 30% of the state revenue sharing, and I feel it's important that we concur with the Senate amendments.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'm in disagreement with those statistics. It's my understanding that the total budget for revenue sharing is in the neighborhood of, the line item will be in the neighborhood of $30+ million, around $31 million, I think. And the way you come up with this 30% figure used by the previous speaker is you exclude certain of the revenue sharing items, like the health monies that go to the community of Anchorage. If you take those away, maybe you do get to 30%, but the overall, I believe, is in the neighborhood of 45% of the revenue sharing budget goes to Anchorage. And in addition, there's a traditional line item in the budget that appears there every year that goes to Anchorage. This year it's $1 million. I think it says something like for health, because Anchorage provides certain health services other communities in the state don't provide. It's sort of like revenue sharing. That isn't counted. So I'd say that that Anchorage is getting its share under here, or darn close to it. And I'd recommend that we vote not to concur, and that we put this into free, I understand it'll go to free conference. And there may be some yet another adjustment that would be possible that would satisfy those who think that it isn't fair. But I think it's close to being fair now, and that you can't exclude the hospital and health facilities monies that go to Anchorage just because the local government doesn't get them. They go to the community, they benefit the community, they're part of the revenue sharing program.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to what was just said, I think that we ought to remember also that those health facilities are serving people from all over the state. If you really are hurting somehow, you go to Anchorage. Maybe possibly to Fairbanks, but that's where you go, no matter what part of the state you're in. Second thing is, I believe Anchorage is the only community that really has taken over the health function, so it gets money for doing that. But in other areas of the state is doing that directly through the Department of Health and Social Services, so it's not a complete profit there to the community either.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote no out of courtesy to the prime sponsor of the bill, who wants to go to free conference.
The question before the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 192. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
10 yeas, 25 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 192. This time I'd like to appoint a pre-conference committee, Representative Gardner, Chairman, Representative Anderson, and Representative Montgomery. Representative Rogers. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is a bill that I've been assured is an excellent bill. It's House Bill number 262. I would strongly urge members to vote yes for this bill. It's House Bill number 262, as I mentioned. amended by the other body. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur and send amendments to House Bill 262 amended, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 262. Again, I ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 262 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to search and rescue and creating a search and rescue fund and providing for an effective date.
The question for the House is the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Bill number 262. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
The House has adopted the Senate amendments to House Bill number 262. Representative Anderson. House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the effective date clause, roll call on the passage of the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 262 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call in the effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is committee substitute for House Bill number 416. It was amended by the other body, and the agricultural component of our membership has told me that the amendments are not to their liking and have asked that this body put that bill in free conference. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur and Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill number 416, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill 416 amended Senate. I ask members to vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill 416 amended Senate by the Resources Committee. An act limiting the application of regulations relating to milk to that sold in the state and allowing the sale of unpasteurized milk.
Question for the House, the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 416. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
1 yea, 33 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments. I'd like to appoint a free conference committee, Representative Carney, Chairman, Representative Moss, and Representative Halford. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill that was amended by the other body are not objectionable and been asked to move to concur and ask members to vote yes on committee substitute for House Bill number 557. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 557, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 557. I ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for House Bill 557 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to scheduling oil and gas lease sales and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 557. Speaker. Representative Cotton.
I notice that the Senate has added on page 4 of their bill an opportunity for individual bidders who do not possess the financial resources of major companies to get involved. I wonder if there's any realistic chance for something like this to really happen. Is somebody aware of what they had in mind here on this edition?
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I'm never quite sure what the Senate has in mind when it amends our bills, but my understanding of the intent is that they intend for DNR to investigate various systems of bidding, ranging from everything from, you know, a net profit bidding system to perhaps some form of lottery to nobody's quite sure exactly what they had in mind, but they do want DNR to take a look at it.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I support Senate amendments. A couple of times here I have quoted, maybe with a little bit too much theatricalness, my old professor of oil and gas law, or oil and gas law, as he used to say. And one and at least back in those days when I would talk to him informally about how do you have a break against the power of the four or five or six, and in the magic number, of course, is seven largest multinational oil companies, his view always was that you make sure that you have some citizens in your own area and some people that are indigenous companies that may be part of your state that will go ahead and cause a break. And we weren't talking about law, we were talking about politics and real politics. He had spent most of his life in Texas until he became a partner in Milbank, Tweed, Connolly, and McCloy, which, believe it or not, really is a New York law firm. And I know that two or three years before I was in the legislature, there were many people saying the best thing in the public interest was only to have competitive bidding, no non-competitive bidding, no opportunity, and I never understood it, but the argument was always made that it was in the public interest to set up a bidding system that would result in only the largest possible entities ever being able to afford to have any oil interests at all. I very much disagree with it. I think the Senate amendment was a very good idea, and all it does ask is for the Department of Natural Resources to investigate it, not to implement it.
Question before the House. Representative Metcalf.
Can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Question for the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 557. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 557. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House, or excuse me, committee substitute for, Senate committee substitute for, sponsor substitute for House Bill 557 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, roll call and final passage will be shown as roll call in the effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill for consideration is committee substitute for House Bill number 830. The prime sponsor of the bill has asked that this bill go to free conference. It has to do with alcohol and drug abuse. Apparently there are some amendments that were made by the other body that are not in concurrence with the original intent of the House, and they want to resolve that in free conference. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill number 830, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill 830, amended Senate, and I ask members to vote no.
The clerk, please read the bill by title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 830, Finance, amended Senate, by the Finance Committee. An act relating to alcohol and drug abuse, changing the responsibilities of the Office of Alcoholism, amending the Alcoholism Grant and Aid Program.
Question for the House, a motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 830. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 34 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 830. At this time, I'd like to appoint a free conference committee. Representative Munson, chairperson. Representative Meekins, Representative Byrne. Representative Anderson.
Who was the last one, Mr. Speaker?
Byrne. He just arrived.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a very brief at ease,
please? House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is House Bill number 945, having to do with interest rates on GO bonds. It was amended by the Senate, and the amendments are found to be in concurrence with House intent. So this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur the Senate amendments to House Bill number 945, thus adopting House Bill number 945, amended Senate. I ask members to vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Bill 945, amended Senate by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. an act relating to interest rates on general obligation bonds and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House, a motion concur in the Senate amendments on House Bill number 945. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill 945. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 945, amended Senate, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the next bill is Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill number 560, having to do with general obligation bonds for paying cost of energy conservation code upgrade, architectural barrier removal for state facilities. Mr. Speaker, at this time I move that the House adopt Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill number 560.
The clerk please read the bill by title.
Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 560 by the Free Conference Committee. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $18,787,500 for the purpose of paying the cost of energy conservation code upgrade and architectural barrier removal for state facilities and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill, the question for the House adoption of the Free Conference Committee report for House Bill number 560. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
32 yeas, 4 nays.
House has adopted Free Conference Committee report for House.